Roseburg would like to welcome The Landing. It's a senior living community, a distinctive place that believes people make it. At The Landing, you'll find apartments and rooms to fit every need, and your rent will never be raised. Contact The Landing, a senior living community, 672-9696, 672-9696.
From the Midas of Roseburg studio, KQEN weather forecast today, partly sunny with a high near 66 degrees. Tonight, a chance of showers and 49 for a low. Tomorrow, chance of showers and 62. And by Friday, partly sunny and 65 degrees. 59 degrees now. KQEN news time is 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thanks for being here on Inside Douglas County. Another legislative check-in today. State Representative Gary Leaf is on with us. Gary, good afternoon. Thanks for being on.
Hey, thanks, Kyle. Thanks for having me again. You know, I just got to say a couple of things. It was great to see the voter turnout in the primary election yesterday. I find it interesting that so many other states are looking at or taking an interest into the Oregon vote-by-mail process. I just want to thank everyone who worked on my campaign and for those who voted for me. We're off to the general election. But on a side note, I'd like to mention something that the legislator voted on was to put stamps on all the ballots because they said there would be a greater turnout. But if you look at the numbers yesterday, that wasn't true at all. And that goes kind of to we wasted a bunch of money, I think, for the taxpayers. If I did the math correct, that probably cost $500,000 to do it. And it also added 2 days more to turn in your ballots because all ballots had to go through Portland before they went back to the city. Not a very smart move, in my opinion.
You know, it's interesting to watch this evolve, and I wondered if for some, in a lot of areas, there weren't as many contested things on the primary ballot as are in some years. Presidential election appears to be decided in each party unless something changes late in the game here. And with the coronavirus situation taking so much of people's mental attention, do you think those weighed into people not voting as much this time around?
Yeah, I believe you're absolutely right. But wasn't it weird? I mean, normally we're at the courthouse looking at the results at 8 o'clock. You didn't see any of that, you know, going on. So it's just kind of weird. So it'll be interesting to see how the November election turns out as a presidential election. But, this is unprecedented. We've never seen anything like this.
And going ahead to the general election now, your opponent's been determined. Other races have been determined. I don't think there was anything particularly close in any of the areas of our region other than the Secretary of State's race, but that's a statewide measure. So do you think the interest level is going to be lower this time around for the general, given everything else going on?
No, I don't think so. I think actually because the presidential election is coming, I think there'll probably be a greater participation. But with the primary, you know, you had two people. I mean, it wasn't like the Democrats had more than one option or the Republicans. I mean, there were more options, but they already knew what the outcome was going to be. So I think maybe that's why voter turnout wasn't really great. But this is going to be a really interesting general election cycle. I'm not even sure how we're going to conduct regular campaign events. Do we know if the forums are going to be hosted? We found out, you know, just yesterday the fair isn't even happening. And if you remember, I've hosted a Meet Your Elected Officials fair booth for the last 5 years. So I don't anticipate a normal or traditional kind of election cycle or process, but I do expect a larger turnout in November.
I would
understanding. Oh, I want to say one thing, understanding that so far, all of our meetings have been kind of on Zoom, which may, in fact, be what they might be hosting on these forums. But, you know, when you're on Zoom, you can't experience the electricity of the crowd. You can't see their faces. So, I mean, if we go into the general election that way, it's going to be just weird.
And that was one of the things I was thinking about. This gives us some time as we get towards the summer when campaigning really isn't going on. It's more behind the scenes activity that maybe between Zoom and some of the other platforms, people are going to come up with modifications, things that can be done so that if you can't have the traditional events, or even if you can have some with smaller groups, you have the potential in some way to meet folks. Yeah, this could be a big change. I hadn't actually thought of that until today. That could be a big change in how the general election campaign was covered. Certainly during the primary, we looked around one day and realized there were a number of things that were not happening where you would normally have an opportunity to meet candidates in person.
Yeah, and you know, the Zoom isn't used traditionally by the legislature or for town hall meetings. They've been using this thing called Teams. Have you heard of that?
Right, yeah, heard of that one.
So Teams, you can only see four people at a time. And so, you know, when you're on Zoom, you can see a bunch of people. So you can't be looking at their expressions. You can't see what's going on. You just see the moderator and whoever that moderator wants to let talk. So it's just weird.
Interesting. So today, well, before I jump ahead, let's talk about the legislature. Legislative days, when are those coming up next?
Yeah, so we're going to do that next week, starting this Friday, I believe. And again, we're not going to convene up in Salem. As a matter of fact, we can go to our Salem offices, but they aren't going to allow staff to go up there at the same time, which again is weird. So again, we would be on these Teams meetings. So for example, most of the committees have between 10 and 20 participants and members that are a part of that. And again, you can only see four at a time unless the moderator lets someone talk and then they can chime in. But this legislative session is going to be pretty weird too. So there's only going to be invited testimony only. So, you know, normally you have a room full of people and, you know, they can put their name on the list and they can come up and talk. Not going to be that way. So invited testimony only through Teams. The only thing that you can do is view that on OLIS. That's the Oregon Legislative Information System, which has notes and meeting dates and times and meeting outcomes, but it will actually video those streamline them as they're going on. And another thing I heard, which is kind of weird, is they're going to have a big TV out the front steps of the Capitol also streaming that. So people can come to the Capitol, I guess, sit on the steps and watch it. But then the last thing of that part, which is, again, strange, we're not going to be voting on anything. We're just going to be listening to testimony. So it's going to be a really strange legislative days, or ledge days, as we call it.
So starting Friday, is this going to take more days to get through all this than the norm for legislative days?
Yeah, it's going to be over a week, as I understand it. So normally ledge days are about 3 days. I think it's going to be a week's time this time.
Interesting. So a very different format there. The revenue forecast came out today. That is getting a lot of attention. The governor and the Republican leaders both chiming in with their thoughts about a forecast. And I got a copy of it, but it was 62 pages. I haven't read the whole thing, but I just glanced through it a bit. And of course, in the current budget cycle, a drop of $2.75 billion. And then a long-term forecast that I'm curious how that was put together over the next 5 years, talking about a long-term impact as we work our way back out of this situation. It's going to make some big changes in state budgets and a lot of things to consider.
You know, the $2.75 billion that came out today was kind of expected. We expected about $3 billion. Now, remember, we have an $80 billion budget. So, I mean, this first forecast isn't super significant, but it's the domino effect. So it's going to be the third quarter, the fourth quarter, next year's reduction. It's going to have a lot of dominoes that are going to affect us down the road. So this is just kind of the first domino falling down. But, you know, it's interesting. We're willing to talk about the medical nightmares, but we're unwilling to really talk about the economic nightmares that are going to happen, which is what we're just talking about now. But think about it. All the nonprofit and school functions like FFA, the scholarships, I heard there's no fair this year. There's no graffiti. There's no fundraising events for like CASA or CARES. I mean, it's going to have a significant amount of reduction, not just for our budgets, but also for those nonprofits who really depend on the money coming into it. I mean, think of FFA. You know, they sell all the livestock and stuff at the fairs, and that's not happening. I understand they're doing a little bit of that virtually online, but people have worked for many years to be able to sell those things, and it's not going to happen. And I just don't believe the feds can keep putting $3 trillion into the economy every couple months and keep the economy shut down. When you combine all these events together, we are experiencing a level of economic challenge that will be with us for several years, just like you mentioned. And that's exactly why I've been asking the governor for a special session to start dealing with these issues.
What's the governor's response been? I know you sent a letter up there, or at least you were drafting one the other day.
Oh, you saw the letter on Facebook? Yeah, it was a really great letter. You know, I commended her for the start of what she wanted to, you know, stop the virus spread. I think that was done correctly. I think the speaker did that correctly. But now we've gone through it and we're 2 months into this thing. You just can't keep the economy shut down. And that's what I wrote to her and said, please let us have a special session so we can talk about this. More than importantly than talk about it, we need input from the citizens. We're not able to do that right now. So far to date, she's not responded.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. State Representative Gary Leaf with us. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. Back in 90 seconds for part two of Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248 at News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1. Later today, the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. State Senator Dallas Hurd will be on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. State Representative Gary Leaf with us now, talking about the revenue forecast out today and just exactly what might take place. His call for a special session as well. And as I've talked to a couple of the county commissioners, they've talked about the money that they've been putting out to deal with some of the things that have been needed to happen for the county's response to this COVID-19 situation on a lot of different fronts. The money coming towards the state from the federal government, but it appears the money going to a very limited number of places in Oregon, the metro counties and Portland, and not getting out to the other counties in the state.
Yeah, our caucus has reached out to the governor, you know, about that, because all the counties are going to be really very affected by this. You know, I gave the example, there's not going to be a fair this year. You know, I remember when I was county commissioner, we very much depended on the fair to pay its way. Without this, you know, without those fairs, it's going to be a huge cost to the counties. No rodeos, no kids FFAs, no sales. I just understood the governor cut $1 million off our jail to Douglas County, and I know that she's probably doing that to other counties. That's going to affect each one of them. And then I don't even know how much the counties are costing, you know, for the extra dealing with this COVID virus. And there's probably more departments, but, you know, that's a county commissioner question.
I want to jump in real quick before we continue and getting word that we've got a critical accident on Diamond Lake Boulevard out by Les Schwab. I don't know how many vehicles are involved, but again, critical accident, Diamond Lake Boulevard out by Les Schwab, just east of Roseburg. So keep that in mind if you're traveling around, might want to take a different route to get around that this afternoon. Sounds like they may be dealing with that for a while. As we have been in phase one reopening for a few days, people look around the business community, some businesses ready to go, opening back up, others doing it more slowly. And of course, some are that are under corporate guidance, some of the chains, et cetera, they're dealing with kind of different plans or different criteria. So not everybody's reopened back up immediately. And so I think some folks were a little surprised that some of this has been going as slow as it has been in the past few days.
Yeah, first of all, prayers go out to the people who are in the accident right now. I hope that they're okay, and prayers to their family. But so you're talking about the negative economic spiral. Is that what you're really asking about?
Well, yeah, because you go into reopening, but reopening is not an overnight flip the switch thing and everything goes back. You have restaurants and other facilities operating at lower capacity. You had folks who had to wait until they could get their supply chains back in, or waited to be assured exactly when they could reopen so they could order food supplies, other things, etc. It's a slow moving process this week.
Yeah, my concern is that a slow restart to the economy will really trigger additional negative economic events. So, you know, we have more and more evidence that many of the small business owners, they won't open up again. They'll close permanently. We've already seen one of the major restaurant chains close up in the Portland area, and a lot of those businesses, they're kind of teetering as they already were, and this is kind of, this government closure is just the last straw. But we're also watching major companies like Delta Airlines, who permanently reduce capacity, and this is going to cost jobs in the medium and the long term. And they're parking a lot of their airlines. They're just not going to use them anymore. And then the reduced government tax revenues are being translated into reduced revenue forecasts. And that's going to force counties and cities and municipalities to plan for lowered budgets and probably job elimination. And then, of course, I talked about the nonprofit sector. They're losing and have lost their window for fundraising. They'll never get that back. So what they normally raise, I mean, I was looking at CASA. I think CASA raises about $75,000 during this fundraising system. They'll never get that back. It's going to be a year from now before that. So it's going to have a major economic spiral.
It's been interesting to watch. I've seen some posts from in the Portland area when you talk about nonprofit sectors and people going to virtual fundraising events and essentially hoping that people will be as generous as they would be at an in-person big fancy gala or whatever. And of course, that meets with different levels of success. It really taps folks to be creative and think out of the box, but at the same time, they're trying to find ways to raise money at a time that it's even more needed than it was before 90 days ago.
You know, I had many people from my caucus suggest that I should go out and fundraise. And I just didn't feel that was right. I mean, here you are, you've got people that have lost their jobs. They can't get on unemployment. They didn't get their stimulus check. How are they going to fundraise? How are they going to possibly give money to me or these other nonprofits when they're themselves are dealing with an economic crisis? It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
About 3 minutes left on Inside Douglas County. For lawmakers, you're also spending almost hour upon hour on these conference calls. Do you feel like a lot of those are productive?
No, they're the same thing over and over. But you've got to be on the call, and then you've got to ask the questions. And I feel like I'm more productive helping people. I mean, I've gotten hundreds of emails from people who have just had an absolute disaster with the employment division not being able to get through. I have a back door through that, so I'm helping people even outside of our county trying to get through that problem. And luckily, I'm getting some good response. But I heard yesterday that the employment division was tabbing. We're down to 3.5 hour wait times. Oh my gosh, can you imagine a business surviving and staying in business and saying, well, it's only 3.5 hours till you get somebody to answer your question?
We have heard from people even in the past few days who have, you know, have been out of work since the whole front end of this thing began, who have yet to get through or yet to be able to get a claim processed, or if they've put the claim in, gotten money back out.
Yeah, and that's what I'm most helpful with right now, is trying to kind of wave through that. I've got kind of the backdoor people that I can get those answers and stuff from. But I mean, you hear from people, you know, I've got 3 kids, I'm a divorced mom, I don't have a job, I haven't got any money coming in, I haven't heard back from the stimulus check. We're at our last straw. What do we do? You know, it's like, oh my gosh. I even offered one person some money just to get him over the hump, and finally he was able to do that. But I mean, your heart goes out to these people.
And before we wrap up, court case against the governor, talk about that.
Oh my gosh, so that's been really interesting. I think the Oregon Constitution is clear. The ability of the governor to extend her executive orders is 14 days, and she can have an extension of 14 days. But after that, she has to convene a special session. And so I believe that the constitutional rights of the citizens will be soon vetted in the state Supreme Courts across the country.
All right, State Representative Gary Leaf, another check-in with us on Inside Douglas County. And as always, Gary, thanks for being on with us this afternoon.
Thank you very much, Kyle. And people, follow my Facebook page for information. Thanks, Kyle.
Appreciate it. You bet. 1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.